Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And for a second week, you guys are still rookies. For a second week, we're back on with our new friends down in Phoenix. We got a great show planned for you guys today. I also just found out, to our friends down in Phoenix, I also recently received wonderful piece of news. I'm going to be down there with you Phoenix people for at least a week. Well, I'm usually down in Phoenix a couple times a year, or four or five times a year. But in February, I get to play in the Waste Management Pro-Am down there. It's the biggest party in Phoenix. I don't need to tell you guys. You guys know. I've played in it once before. And I'm bringing the kids down this time because you get to play with the pros and they get to meet them and all that. But we're only going to the Pro-Am because that's insane, right? I'm 39 years old, I'm 40 in March. I went down there and I was blushing. that place is wild. And if you're a golfer, let me just tell you, now we weren't full when I was down there, you know, and because it's the Pro-Am. But it is unbelievable how many people are there for the Pro-Am. You know, around that one hole on 16, the par 3 that everybody knows. And for those of you that aren't golfers, you've probably seen it on ESPN. You know, somebody hits a hole-in-one, people start throwing beer all over the stands. But that's the Phoenix Open, right? That's the Waste Management Open. And I'll tell you, pressure, when your name gets announced. For the Pro-Am, I think there were 35,000 people in the stands surrounding that hole, 40,000 people in the stands. I think at max capacity, it's like 65,000. They announce your name, people start yelling, and you just feel like you're trying to hit a golf shot in a fishbowl. Anyway, so I'll be down there with our folks in Phoenix and having a great time. We're going to be staying down there for the week and playing in that. So I'm pumped, to say the least. It was one of the coolest days of my life. You're walking around with tour pros. I got to play with Xander Schauffele. What a guy. He's so laid back, so nice, so cool, helping us out. His caddy was giving us reads. See, Darren, this is what happens. If we start talking golf, this will just turn into a golf show, right? What a cliche. I manage money and I play golf. I'm actually a football player. The reason I got into golf was because I was done playing football and I didn't realize what a competitive hole that left. And so somebody asked me to go play golf and that was all she wrote. Now it's in my blood, man. I came by it honestly. It is, you know, it's like a mutant mutation, right? It's like grafted itself to my DNA. I can't help it. And I may or may not have. I might get a little carried away with the golf guys. My wife got all ticked at me. We, in our first house we moved in, I actually grooved a hole into the carpet from where I was swinging my club. And we did not have enough money to just willy-nilly replace carpet. That was the first place. That was the first place that we lived in out of college. So we were broke as a joke. I remember my first mortgage payment was $1,560 a month. And that made you swallow hard. At the same time, I was paying $1,600 a month for student loans. My student loans were higher than my mortgage. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. I'm not going to drone on and on about my golf game, although I would like to. Not because it's so amazing, just because I could talk about golf all the time. But no, fascinating stuff going on in markets, guys. I think some of it points to really good things, depending on how you're invested. I think some things point to really bad things. But the knife fight that we've been talking about, right? New leadership. And guys, the reason this is important, because it cycle shifts, which we very much believe this is. Okay, we very much believe. Now, I don't think it's going to be a complete smooth transition, right? Nothing in the world works that way. In our minds, we go, well, you go from a deflationary environment to an inflationary environment. No, there's birthing pains all along, right? When you're changing trajectories, and especially one that is this old, right? This deflationary threat, where deflation was the chief threat of the economy, that's been rolling for like 35, 40 years, right? So it's not going to be just smooth sailing. I will say this, though. I see rates dropping on a day like today. And just so you guys know at home, when we're talking about rates, when you hear somebody say rates, we're talking about interest rates on U.S. government bonds. And if you want, and really you only have to watch one, you can pay attention to the yield curve, which is when you hear people talk about the yield curve, think of the 2-year bond, the 10-year bond, and the 30-year bond. Ideally, the 30-year bond should be paying more than the 10-year, which should be paying more than the 2. When people say the yield curve is inverted, it means that, you know, maybe the 10-year is paying 1.5 and the 30-year is paying 1.4. Now, it can be inverted other ways, but that's kind of, right, it's when you see things going on. And the yield curve right now is flattening, which is typically is a recessionary sign. I think you're going to hear a lot of people talking about that. And I don't want to be inappropriate, but I call it fear porn, right? You're going to hear, like, oh, the yield is inverted. Here's the deal on the inverting yield. The yield curve inverted in 2019, I want to say. Was it 2018? No recession occurred. The yield curve inverting has been a wonderful sign in the past. I really don't think it means anything anymore. And I know that that's sacrilege saying that in the investment world, but I don't think it means anything anymore. Why? Because rates are where central banks want them. Period. And look, I say that knowing a bunch of, that's not true. Did it? I don't know if there's any data to glean from the bond market. I don't buy it. And why don't I buy it? Because the biggest players in there are the ones buying back their own bonds, quantitative easing by central banks. So the yield movements or the price movements you see on these treasuries, it's not telling you anything. It's a political machination, right? It's something done by essentially a political body, which is what the Federal Reserve is. Now, they're separated from the political construct, but if you want to know what I mean by the fact they're a political body, they're a central bank. And they're now claiming that one of their mandates is to clean up global warming, climate change. Now, these people can't see a recession if it bit them on the backside, but they're going to be able to figure out. They're going to crack the code on global warming. Right. But my point is that's what I'm saying. They're a political apparatus. So rates are what they want them to be. I just don't think there's any information. And I think that you're seeing the irony is if you look at rate action, if you look at the dollar, you could make a lot of argument on a traditional basis that points to a slowing economy and deflation. Then you look at the underlying data, fuel consumption up, job growth up, big jobs report number up, rise in Social Security boosting at 5.9%, biggest jump in forever. Hottest inflation reads in the last 30 years. Maybe, yay, look, we've been wrong before. If you're setting up for a deflationary environment a la Kathy Wood here, you know, tip of the cap, best of luck. I just don't see it. I don't know what you're basing that off of. And then here's the other thing. If it does, guys, they're going to print until the inflation shows. So even if this inflation is transitory, which we very much don't believe it is, and I think that you can see that via energy markets, right? We've talked a lot about energy recently, right? Everybody's focused on this winter. Look, whether that hyperbolic price spike in energy happens this winter or not, it really doesn't change our outlook. You know why? Because their inventories are so dangerously low to get them up to an acceptable level, they're going to have to buy way more next year than they've bought in the past. And this myth about new supply coming online, it's not at these prices. It's just not. I mean, OPEC will add a little bit more supply to this in an incremental fashion, but right now you see OPEC adding supply, contrary to what you're hearing on the TV from Biden. Oh, OPEC need, it's not right what they're doing. Wait a second, Joe. Right? Like, you shut down, you know, federal, you're crimping our production here. Why are you telling them they shouldn't? Right? It just doesn't make, none of this makes any sense. Anyway, what are some of the stuff that happened? Okay, is anybody watching Tesla? I'm not going to beat up on Tesla. You guys know my, let's just say now it's the first $1 trillion company to ever have a junk debt rating. So the other thing that is remarkable, guys, like Tesla, hate it, whatever. You just saw a company worth $650 billion double its market cap on essentially no news in a period of about 2.5 months. You saw it the other day. What was it up? That one day, wasn't Tesla up like 10% or something? On an announcement of selling profitless cars to Hertz, which ended up not being what happened. So that the stock popped the equivalent of $250 billion of market cap on the news that they were going to sell $4.5 billion of cars to Hertz. And you don't have to be a math major to find out that that's $4.5 billion of revenue that has no profit, okay, except the tax rebates they get for it. And because of that announcement, the price of the stock went up $250 million in like 2.5 months. Never seen it. The other day, was it yesterday? Day before? NVIDIA, one of the biggest chip makers in the world. Stock goes up 13%, the equivalent of $120 billion. No, it was like $70 billion. Anyway, a company worth $700 billion on no news, their stock rallies 13% a day. Okay, if you own those stocks, guys, NVIDIA is a phenomenal company. Okay, understand what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that these are not things you see in a healthy stock market. These are the things you see at a blow-off top. I'm not saying the whole market is topping here. I'm just saying the same thing I've been saying since last fall. You are all loaded up in ridiculously priced tech. The market is changing beneath your feet. If you think you're going to get similar returns as you have over the past 10 years, come on. Come on. Look at the valuations on this stuff. And then you've got to do what we say. You got to look at the whole picture. And we're going to do that in the next segment. It's going to be an extension of the market update. Because one of the things to look at a market, to evaluate a market, I all the time you see people pointing, oh, that's a bubble. This is a bubble. First of all, you never know, even, you know, nobody knows when the peak of a bubble is. But I think that there's other factors that you need to look at to decide whether you're in a bubble. And the way I define a bubble is a market that is completely off the rails in terms of valuation to the upside, right? Where the valuations are no longer tied to anything fundamental and they go up based on going up, right? The more they go up, the more they go up, and they go up because they're going up, right? It's a self-reinforcing cycle. Okay, that to me is a bubble. Other people have different definitions. I think that's a bubble where the prices of assets to the upside get completely unattached from reality. Now, the other part of a bubble that's really interesting is that usually when that occurs, you're able to find things that are the opposite end of the spectrum, that are ridiculously underpriced. So we want to talk about that in the next segment because there is massive opportunity here. I just don't think it's where most people are looking. So let's take a quick break. As always, guys, if you're listening to this and if you want active management, if you want to talk to your money manager last March and go, oh my goodness, the markets are cratering, this is completely out of control, go, hey, settle down. You're only down 5.5%. That's what our average client was down. Then they finished last year. Their stock portfolios were up better than 20. This year, they're outperforming the markets by 5%. 6% now, something like that. Anyway, value portfolios flirting with up 40. Our momentum portfolio's actually been coming back. It's now up 19 on the year, something like that. Anyway, it's kicking tail. My whole point, guys, is that contrary to what you hear out there, you don't have to sit in mutual funds and ETFs. What you really need in markets like this is active management and risk management that can get out of the way when not trying to time markets, but you see, like, go back and listen to the show we did last January and February. Nobody knew how bad COVID was going to be, but in the middle of February, we found out that the Chinese Communist Party put 750 million people on house arrest. China is the manufacturing floor for the entire world. If you don't think that's going to cause problems for a stock market that's at record high valuations and already up 13% on the year, which was the case last year at the beginning of February, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't think that that setup deserves a portfolio hedge, I don't know what to tell you. Again, it's not timing markets. But the way your assets are being managed, they tell you just to ride it up and down. If you ride it up and down with a market at these valuations, your expected returns over the next 10 years are negative 3 to 0%. You can't afford to ride it up and down. Does this market look like something you can afford to ride up and down? You need to have a strategy in place so you don't suffer a catastrophic loss and give back all the gains you've made over the last 10 years. And there's a cheaper way to do it. And you can get better security while increasing your upside performance. That's what we do. So call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. And guys, if you call us, you're not getting roped into a sales process. You should see the portfolio outperformance. It's pretty drastic to both sides. If you want to take less risk, if you want market calamities last March, right, because everybody's kind of feeling emboldened by that. Guys, when the market drops 30 to 40%, it doesn't usually bounce back to new highs within 18 months, okay? That's kind of a one and done deal. And I'm not saying the market's going to collapse. I'm just saying in this environment where a market's completely detached from fundamentals, that better be something that's on your radar. Here's the other thing. If you're taking the regular ETF approach and the mutual fund approach, guess what you have almost zero exposure to? Anything that benefits from inflation. Everything you own is going to get hammered. Bonds, tech companies, shoemakers. I'm looking at Nike hitting a new high today. Guys, inflation is not good for Nike. They're also hitting a new high water mark in terms of their valuation after announcing a bad quarter. Anyway, we're going to get into the extremities of the market and talk about just how extreme this is, but not in a way that it's about ready to crash. I don't think we're on the precipice of a crash. I do think we're on the precipice of a big rotation that's going to create a lot of noise. And if you're not in it, I think you will lose money. If you're in it, I think you will make a lot. I just think it's kind of a binary outcome. So anyway, we'll hit that in the next segment. Stick with us through the break. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Because of all this money printing and the fact that we're still at zero interest rates, it's likely to create some serious inflation. And inflation crushes bonds. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy now. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy that shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still seek market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital's DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. And just a little housekeeping thing. We have another virtual roadshow coming up on December 2nd. Where did I put my? December 2nd at 3 p.m. Pacific time. That's 4 p.m. in Phoenix. Again, for our people in Phoenix, well, I think like once every month and a half or something, we do a virtual roadshow. And what we do in our virtual roadshow, guys, is 30 minutes long. Doesn't cost anything. There's only 100 slots. We usually get about 120 to 130 people signed up. So even if you're late, you're in the 20 and 30, we just roll you to the invite on the next one. But you'll want to register. Again, doesn't cost anything. It's 30 minutes long. And we walk you through our process, including showing you our portfolios and unabashedly showing you the performance. That matters, right? That's a big deal. We show you how we got the performance, explain to you the process, explain to you the bond replacement strategy that's insured against loss, paying you out an average of 5 to 6% a year with no fee. We go through the whole thing. And you just see the raw returns, right? That's how I love to do it. We show you the process, show you the returns. Because everybody can sit back from their mind, well, this way works better, this way works better, whatever. Look, in this business, money talks. And the returns are what they are. They don't lie. And, I think like most people, you'll like the way we do things. I also think that people are learning a really important lesson about this whole passive approach. It's not horrible. But if you got an active manager that knows what he's doing, he can save you a lot of heartache. and he can generate better returns. And that's what we've done. Not bragging, just saying this is what it is. There's a better way to do things. You want to lower your fees. You want active management, somebody who's invested, somebody whose livelihood is tied to the performance of your portfolio, not getting your portfolio. Right? That's the way the average investment advisory works. Right? We get you your portfolio, we sell you financial products, and then we try to keep you on. And we just tell you, market's down 60, you're going to be down 60. You just got to stay on the ride. They don't deliver any value. Right? You can take the ride by yourself for free. Okay, we sit there and go, hey, if we're going to charge people a fee, we got to deliver a better result. We got to minimize losses in down markets. We got to maximize gains in up markets. We got to find an alternative for bonds, because charging you an expense fee to manage a bond portfolio is highway robbery. If you have more than 5% bonds in your portfolio, you are getting worked. I don't care who tells you anything different. If those bonds are not paying a coupon of 4.5% or greater, you are getting worked. So you can see a whole nother way. Less risk, less cost, and considerably more upside. Upside is in, what are we at here? Are we at 15% outperformance from the market just in the last 2 years? And we were down 1/3 as much as they were down? Our stock portfolios, our overall portfolios were down 1/8 as much as the market was down. My whole point, guys, there's a better way. Don't be skeptical. It doesn't cost you anything. We don't get your, you know, we're not going to call you if you attend the roadshow. This is just a way for us to show you what we do, how we do it. We do a 30-minute presentation, run you through the whole project, tell you what it costs, all that stuff, go through Social Security, estate planning. We just roll you through exactly what we do for our clients, how we set up their portfolios, how they work, the whole thing. We get it done in 30 minutes. Sometimes I go a little over. And then we do a 30-minute Q&A. So if people have any questions about stocks, our process, whatever, I prefer the questions about stocks. But anyway, Darren, where are we at on time? We've only got about, a minute and a half left in this segment here? Okay, so I'll do the extension of the market update in the next segment. But let me do one more warm-up to it, because, you know, what I hear all too often in markets is there's nothing to worry about. This is the bull market that's going to run forever. Or on the flip side of it, everything's about ready to collapse. Okay, very seldom are either one of those true, and I think right now is a perfect case. I think the setup you're looking at in the markets, if you're positioned a certain way, I think you could have a really wonderful run ahead of you. I think if you're positioned the way that the average retail investor is, I don't think it's going to be fun. And I think history backs that up. And we'll walk you through exactly what we mean. But I'll just reiterate it. And am I biased as an active manager? Yes. I'm also biased because I see the value that we brought to our clients just in the last 2 years, to the upside and the downside. And I think it's a crime that people are paying twice the level of fees that we're charging our clients. I saw an account the other day. Somebody walked in with an account. Check this out, Darren. They walked up with an account that in the last 2 years is up like 3%. Okay? I think we're up like 70. They walked in with an account that's up 3%. People go, well, the market, 70, the market's doubled since the bottom. We weren't at the bottom. We were only down 11%. So a 70% gain coming from an 11% dip is a lot more money than making a 100% gain coming from a 36% dip. Trust me. Anyway, we'll get into that in the next segment. Stick with us through the break. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Now, don't go anywhere. We're going to explain the opportunities and the risks in this current market that have made themselves abundantly clear just this week. Don't miss it. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Because of all this money printing and the fact that we're still at zero interest rates, it's likely to create some serious inflation. And inflation crushes bonds. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy now. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy that shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still seek market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital's DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Okay, before I forget to, before I get into the heart of this, I just want to tell you guys something right now. I'm not giving you a recommendation. I am just saying we're seeing a little bit of an ominous sign here. Not big ominous, just short-term ominous. I'm looking at a day right now where the Dow is up 0.5%, S&P's up 0.39, NASDAQ's up 0.18, Russell 2000's up 1.16, which happened to just break to a new all-time high. Now remember, Russell 2000 is the index we're watching because it's really a proxy for the smaller stocks. There's a lot of things in the Russell 2000 that aren't value related, but value has done so bad compared to the broader market over this entire run that a lot of companies by default, value companies, have ended up in the Russell 2000. Okay, so you're going to see a pretty high correlation between the Russell 2000 and traditional value indexes. So the Russell breaking out here in a pretty convincing fashion, that's a big sign, right? That's the knife fight that we've been talking about. Now, the other indexes that are all-time highs as well, but it's not moving the way that you'd expect. When I see an index pop through a previous all-time high like the Russell just did, and then I look at the last two gains, that's an index that's like, okay, we crossed it, and now we're firing, right? Where I see the NASDAQ, it got a cut to 2-3% above its all-time high, and it's getting a little beat down. The other thing that you want to keep in mind is all the four major indexes are green here in the States today. The VIX is up 6.5%. This is not a perfect correlation. But when you see the VIX up substantially, so over 2%, 2-3% can just be movements in the market. And it's not up big. We're still talking about a VIX at 16.4. But when you see a VIX up 6.5% with all the indexes green, that has not been a good sign for equity markets. Not 100% of the time, but a very high percent of the time, especially over the last 2 years. So keep an eye on that. Would not be surprised to see some noise on the overall indexes. And that is a perfect segue into the segment that I wanted to talk about, that extension of the market update, to kind of let you know where we're at. Because I do very much think we're at a turning point here. And I'll tell you why. It's for fundamental reasons. Not market guru, which reasons, right? No, for those of you that live in Phoenix and Portland, you've been listening for long enough, you know the drill. Okay, for our new friends in Phoenix, I just want to read, guys, nobody has a secret algorithm. Nobody has a secret process, right? A perfect example of that, and I don't mean to beat on this person at all. They've built a heck of a business. Kathy Wood, ARK Invest. What was it? The day before Zillow earnings, they went in there and bought Zillow hard. Now, I've been asked about Zillow 100 times. I've got some insight into Zillow because my little sister worked there. Because of that, I've known a lot of people that work there, including people in management, got some insight into the company. And I've told people all along, don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I think management's a dumpster fire. I think their valuation is insane. It makes no sense. They do stupid stuff like paying 25% more than market prices for a bunch of houses that they think they can flip. How they paid that much above market, I don't know. But they released their earnings. The stock dropped, 40%? She loaded up at a low price one day, bought it for the next. Why do I bring that up? I don't bring that up to pile on her. It happens to all of us. Okay, I bring it because the whole narrative around them has been the reason that they've generated such great returns is because they do better research. If you didn't know that Zillow was doing this, you didn't do any research. It was right there. I don't know how you think it can be a dip buying opportunity Monday and then sell the entire position on Tuesday because the stock dropped 40% because of earnings. And you do incredible research that nobody else can do. What that tells me is you're just buying a meme stock. You didn't even do the research. If you researched into Zillow, there's no moat around the business. They're doing stupid things left and right. They've tried to hit their numbers by firing talent, especially in the sales department, which is a classic mistake. right? It's a short-term juicing of your earnings. Anyway, but what you see here is those stocks start to take a beating. Peloton's another one. Everybody's like, oh, they had bad earnings. I go, no, they're down 50% because they were overvalued. They didn't have, none of these companies have had bad earnings. They're still, you know, they're still growing. They're still figuring things out. Things aren't going to go in a straight line. It's not the company's fault. I think Peloton makes a good product. It's the investor class for bidding this stuff up. You know, you look at NVIDIA right now. NVIDIA's got a 700. It's a great company. They got great products. They're dominant. But look at it as a business. It does $21 billion in revenue and $7 billion of profit a year. It's got a $750 billion market cap. NVIDIA is going to make a lot of profit over the next 10 years, guys. But you're already paying for that in the stock. I think NVIDIA could keep up on its current growth trajectory, you know, with small dips in the rate of growth, because the rate of growth is going to decline as you get bigger. And I think it could still take them 8 to 10 years to just catch up, if everything goes according to plan, to catch up with the market cap they've got already. The other sign you see is that NVIDIA has never been a cheap stock, and it probably didn't deserve to be because it was such a good company. But over this entire run, last 10 years, or when it's been hot, the PE ratio, the price to earnings multiple on their stock, has really been between like 45 and 55. That's been the consistent range. Now it's at 105. As a company grows, you want to double the multiple. Remember, the multiple should reflect the growth rate. And I got news for you. NVIDIA ain't going to grow over the next 5 years as fast as they grew over the previous five. It's madness. Tesla going up $350 billion on no news. It's madness. Now, here's the key. And this is the thing that I hadn't seen for a long time. And that's why I was always afraid of calling a market top or a turning point or anything like that. Because in my experience, to really identify a bubble, you need to see stuff that is ridiculous, expensive. And conversely, you typically expect to see stuff that is ridiculously cheap. Now, there's been cheap stuff in the market, but it's stuff with dirt on it, right? It's stuff that deserved to be cheap. Now, it was probably too cheap, kind of like GameStop, right? We made a killing on GameStop, bought it at 10, sold it at 43 on fundamental reasons. We did that way before the Wall Street Bet and Reddit people got into it. Why? Well, I mean, because at the bottom, GameStop was trading at a discount to cash on hand, and it was still throwing off positive cash flow, and it had 140% short interest against it. Like I told people, I go, being short GameStop was like sitting on a barrel of gunpowder smoking a cigar. It can turn out okay. Doesn't mean it's a good risk to take, right? So there's stocks like that deserve to be cheap, but let's look over here. Now, you guys have heard what I said about the energy markets. I'm going to run you through some things. I'm not going to give you names to this because I don't want to recommend it. I don't want to get in trouble. But what is investing? Investing is buying future cash flows at discounted prices, right? If we know a company, for instance, we buy ABCD company or whatever the heck may be, and they want us to pay $10 million for the company. We sit back and look at them. We go, okay, this company's growing at 5 to 7% a year. They're currently making, you know, $60 million a year in profit. So if we buy it for $10 million, that's about a 6% annual gain, but we factor in the growth. Over the next 10 years, if the growth keeps up, right, the profit should pay us back close to, if not all, of our original investment. Right? Think about it like a business, not a stock. And the reason why I'm going to make a point out of that, think about it like a business instead of a stock, is because nobody's doing that right now. Nobody's doing that right now. I'll give you an example. We bought an oil company the other day for a $900 million market cap, okay, a smaller one. They have zero debt. They own three properties, okay, two of which are in development, pretty close to being done though, not a lot of capital expenditure, and they've got no debt. One is operational. Okay, at $80 oil, that one operational well, the company, right? So the development costs they're paying for the two properties and the one producing well, after they pay all their expenses and everything, that property between at $80 oil is throwing out somewhere between $360 to $390 million of profit a year. We bought it for $900, and it's paying $360 million a year in profit. So that means in about, if oil just stays here, not even if it goes up further, if it just stays here, if it stays between, at $65 a barrel oil, they were throwing out like $280 million or something like that. Okay, my point is people are like, well, yeah, but the stock's not going to go up. That's how I make money. Wrong. You make money because of profit, eventually. Buffett says it all the time. The market in the short term is a voting machine. In the long term, it's a weighing machine. If you buy a company for $900 million that is throwing out $350 to $380 million of free cash flow per year, or net income per year, rather, that has no debt and owns two other properties, it is really hard to figure out how you're going to lose money on that. And as a matter of fact, you should make a ton. This is just simple math. Now, think about that. So almost half of the value of their company, they're paying out in profit per year. Let's go to another one. Old favorite of mine, Camping World. Now, I'm not as fired up about Camping World as I am the energy market, but similar deal. Go look at the last two quarters that they reported. Revenues growing crazy. They just increased their full year outlook for next year. Revenues ramping, profits ramping, debt is down. They doubled their dividend from 2.2, now it's paying 5.2% a year. They're putting off $190, $200 million of free cash flow per year. Same thing. Now, what's really interesting, Camping World earnings came out the other day, crushed it, even beat the best estimates that we thought. Stock barely responded. It popped 5%. It gave it virtually all back today. Market doesn't care. Okay. Well, what I said is that this valuation situation has gotten so extreme that I don't really care what the market thinks about this company. You look at Camping World, it's throwing off between $600 to $800 million of free cash flow a year and growing. Okay? That means in the next 3 years, if Camping World wanted to, it could use its free cash flow and buy 100% of its own stock back. Here's the other thing Camping World could do. Because they cleaned up their balance sheet and they have relatively little debt when you compare it to their net income and their revenue and all that kind of stuff. Clean, very manageable balance sheet. They could take out $1 billion in debt. Now, I don't know what their borrowing costs are, but let's say their borrowing costs are 3%, okay? They take out a 3% loan. They buy back $1 billion worth of stock. And their cash flow improves by $30 million a year. How? Because they're paying a 5.2% dividend. So even if they take out the debt that costs them 3%, they're netting out 2.2% different right there. So they take out $1 billion in debt, buy their stock back, and add $25 to $30 million to free cash flow per year. That's how ridiculous this stuff has gotten. Where I'm actually owning these stocks and I'm hoping they go lower because every point they go lower is just more money you're going to make. Meanwhile, every investor out there is chasing stuff that's trading at 100 times revenue. That's faltering, by the way, where inflation is picking up. Every sign should be screaming at investors, hey, it's time to rotate. The party is almost over. Oh, and by the way, you're seeing typical bubble activity at the top where you're watching $600, $700 trillion market cap companies with debt junk ratings, by the way. That's never happened before. But you're watching them get bid up incipiently or precipitously, and everybody's over here ignoring the fundamental story. It's mind-boggling. Energy, go to energy. I have never seen a setup like this. And here's why. Usually if you want to buy something that is going to be throwing out 40% of its market cap in cash flow, first of all, I've never seen a sector that had so many of those. Okay? B, I've never seen a sector that had so many of those and the price action wasn't responding. People go, what do you mean? Everybody's on the energy trade. Oh, really? When was the last time oil was at a high? Oil, before this most recent move, the highest high in the last 3 years for oil happened in June or July of 2018, where oil was at $68. The same time, I think nat gas was around two and a half, something like that. Okay. XOP is the biggest energy ETF out there. It tracks the whole energy complex. At that time, in June of 2018, XOP was at 173. Today, oil is at 83. Nat gas is closing in on 6. And XOP is at 109. that tells you everything you need to know. Well, you can't buy oil and nobody likes it. The other thing that makes it really hard to find opportunities like this, usually you have to anticipate when companies are going to be producing this much free cash flow, because by the time it happens, it's already factored into the stock. The incredible thing is you're sitting here looking at this. People are like, oh, it'll never last. And you look at them and go, it doesn't need to, man. You're not looking at the cash flow. If the market won't give these guys the price they want, they'll just buy back the stock themselves. We're watching CEOs from energy companies stepping up and buying 50 to 60% of their own stock. Why do you think they're doing that? Now, guys, and like I said earlier, this isn't about the price spike this winter, right? The price spike, the possibility of the price spike this winter just makes the opportunity more juicy. What it's really like, what I think buying these quality energy companies right now, I think it's kind of like buying a CD with a lottery ticket attached to it. Now, does that mean those stocks can't go down? No. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. A listener asked me a really important question this week. And I wrote it down right when he asked me because I went, we got to go over this. And I want to hit on this so you guys understand. Now, as always, if these aren't the conversations you're having with your advisor, if you understand what I'm talking about in terms of market pricing versus reality here, if you understand how insane throwing off free cash flow of 40% of market cap with no debt is, guys, those opportunities are all out there. And I think that we have the potential to make ungodly amounts of money taking very little risk. If these aren't the opportunities that are getting brought to you, if your money manager isn't limiting losses and stemming the tide back in last March, and if they didn't, then they didn't use that opportunity to buy you more stuff at cheap values, there's a better way to do it. What are you paying fees for, guys? If you're sitting in bonds, call us, 866-779-RISK. There's a better way. We can increase your upside, drastically reduce your risk, and lower your cost all at the same time. And we've been on the rate, guys. We manage $400 million. We're on the radio in three states. This isn't snake oil. If it was, we'd be pinched. And that's not the way we are anyway. I'll tell you when I get it wrong. People that have listened to the show have heard me say it 100 times. I'm not perfect. Nobody else is. But these are the kind of sea changes. These are the kind of shifts where wealth is generated. And if you're doing what the rest of the crowd's doing, you're going to sail right past it. And probably take a pounding in the process. There's a better way. Call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Sign up for a free portfolio review with me or one of our advisors. Or you can sign up for the virtual roadshow that's coming up December 2nd, 3rd, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Phoenix time. We lay you through our whole planning process, show you the portfolios, how they've outperformed both to the upside and the downside, how our value portfolio is up 40%, right around 40% this year. Momentum portfolio just got, since May of 19, our momentum portfolio as of today is up 100.01%, and it lost 11% last March. No, it lost 10. Value was down 12.5. Together, I think they were down like 11.6. Made 100% since May of 2019. It was down 10% in March. Okay? I'm not asking you to trust that. I'll show you. How do we capture that upside without taking that big hit? We'll show you. That's what risk management's all about. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us through the break. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Because of all this money printing and the fact that we're still at zero interest rates, it's likely to create some serious inflation. And inflation crushes bonds. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy now. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy that shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still seek market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital's DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, let me look at my list here. I got to make sure. We're going to try to squeeze two things into one here. Okay, so I want to close up that last segment because a new client just signed with us. Asked me a really important question. I think he listens to the show too, so he'll know who he is. He said, Zach, what would your assessment? I know you're saying there's a lot of opportunities. So how would you assess the market right now? Do you think it's really risky? Do you think it's not risky? Like, how would you assess that? And I went, you know, that's a great question. And this is kind of an insight into what I mean in terms of risk management. You guys know how fired up I am about the energy opportunity and for all the reasons that I'm fired up about it. Every time I start talking about it, I get caught. I've just never seen anything like this where we're not investing in energy telling you how good it's going to be. It's good right now. Go read these reports. It's insane. There's a company out there we own called Continental Resources. They just made a $3.2 billion acquisition of a bunch of assets. Their stock dropped 10% because nobody liked the purchase price. They thought they were paying too much for it. At $80 an oil, $80 oil, the assets they bought are throwing off $500 million of free cash flow a year for $3.2 billion in a zero interest rate market. Again, you don't have to be a CPA to understand that that is shockingly good. And CLR, Continental Resources, is well capitalized. They just paid cash for it. They didn't even use debt. Just paid cash. They take that $3.2 billion and start making $500 million a year on it. At $80 oil, stock dropped 10%. I'm sitting there going, you just bought an ATM. You just bought an ATM, and people think that's bad news. So getting back to what the client said, do you think it's risky? And I said, that's an interesting question. If we're talking about the whole market, yes, it's horrifically risky. And just look at historical data. Again, you guys know me. I'm not telling you the market's about to crash. The market is where it's at because of all the interference and, you know, stimmies and stimulus and deficit spending and quantitative easing. The list goes on and on. But when you look at the valuation of this market on a historical context, looking at the last 150 years of market returns, when markets get to these valuations, annual expected returns over the next 10 years are between 0 to -3% a year. And what's funny about that is that marries up perfectly to the period of time that I've been telling you that this reminds me of a lot, 1968 to 1983, the last period of really big inflation. The stock market was slightly negative over that 15-year period of time. Bonds were down like 50 to 60%. So even the return expectations from this point remind me a lot of that period of time. Having said that, so I said, the overall market is risky. He goes, well, what about the stuff that we own? And I go, I don't think it's risky at all. Now, do I think these energy stocks that we're talking about could take a 20, 30, or 40% hit before we get the run that we're talking about? Sure. Why? Why are they so cheap to begin with? Right? They're cheap because of sentiment. That's it. Nobody thinks you can own oil. Nobody thinks you can own fossil fuels. So could they go? Sure, they're detached from, right? It's just, they are literally the inverse of the Teslas. That's why I say don't short them, right? Tesla or anything like it. Because you're shorting it for rational reasons and the price is irrational. Will it return to rationality in time? Yeah, but you might be broke by the time. If you shorted Tesla at 200, you're smoke now. Now on a valuation basis, should you have, on a fundamental basis, it was a screaming short at 200. I was really tempted to do it. You know why I didn't? Because of what we're talking about. So what we have to really look at here is the difference between financial risk and market risk. I think if you're looking out 3 to 5 years right now, I think the vast majority of these oil companies have zero risk. I know, that's blasphemy to say it. If you look at them as a whole, right? Individual companies can have individual problems. But I'm sitting there going, if you bought the XOP here, I think you have essentially zero risk of loss over the next 3 to 5 years because of the valuation, the cash flow. It just becomes a cash flow story. I don't care if other companies are divesting it. If people won't buy their stock, the companies will buy it themselves. Like I said, we're watching CEOs buy 60% of their stock. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they see what's coming. That's funny. I'm getting a call on my phone from American Power while we're talking about energy. It's a sign. It's an omen. Anyway, so market risk? Sure. Again, we're buying stuff that's detached from reality. You have to know. But what you've got to do is you've got to just keep looking back at the fundamental picture and go, good, I hope it goes down 30 or 40% because it's literally like making money. You just buy more. We're not buying growth. We're buying cash flow. We're just buying cash flow with the potential, the serious potential of this huge energy spike this winter. So like I said, it's like a dividend paying CD with a lottery ticket attached to it. So I'm not saying the price of this stuff won't go down. It very well could. Market doesn't make any sense to either side. But this is where you have to step in. This is where you've got to be greedy when others are fearful. Why? Listen to people talk. You hear them talk about why not to buy oil. They won't give you a bit of fundamental. Now, oh, just people are divesting, blah, blah, right? It's all sentiment. Anyway, I overran my time. I gotta close it up. Guys, give us a call. If you want to get exposure to these kind of opportunities, you want somebody that's actually earning the fee you're paying for you, give you more protection, way less downside risk, active management, bring in ideas like this to the table, the bond replacement strategy, increase your upside, drastically reduce your downside, lower your cost, give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. We got to run. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.